Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you very much. Welcome back on board On the Mark, brought to you as always by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. We're going to open up the phone lines in a few minutes, but before we do that, we're delighted to have with us on the phone this morning Thane Rosenbaum, CBS Legal News, CBS News legal analyst. Thane, you've taught at Fordham Law School for quite a few years. President Biden is now proposing some rather drastic changes to the way our Supreme Court and the way our government, our third institution, would operate. Tell us what you know about that and what you think about it, if you can.
Well, before I do that, Joe, let me just update you, because my online bio is hard to follow because I move around a lot. I left Fordham Law School and then went to New York University Law School, and now I'm at Touro University. So, yes, I'm old.
Welcome to the club.
I've been teaching and writing a lot about the law. That proves it. It has the look of a political maneuver because the President of the United States doesn't have a lot of control here. He can write 1,000 op-eds about what he'd like to see happen with respect to the issue of the immunity of a president. That would require a constitutional amendment. Last time we had one was in 1992. It dealt with congressional salaries. The president has no role to play in amendments. It's not like regular legislation where he can, you know, help shape it with the legislature and he can veto it. He can't do anything here. This is something that both houses of Congress have to initiate. Two-thirds of the both houses need to vote on it. Guess what? It's not over. It then has to go to every single state legislature, and three-quarters of those states need to ratify it. Then you've got an amendment, and that's why we don't see it very often.
Well, he hasn't exactly proposed packing the court this time, has he?
No. I mean, he's seemingly, what he's really interested in is term limits, and the unique idea would be that presidents, of course, would still make the pick, but they would be guaranteed to make one every two years, so two within a term. And if you limit it, eventually you get a much more, you know, consistent rotation of Supreme Court justices. And you might also get away from this other thing that we've seen over the last 20 years, which I have never thought was a good idea, is putting very, very young people on the court in order to keep them on the court for 30 to 35 years. That to me is a big mistake. I've always thought that was very cynical. You know, somebody's 72 years old and they've been on a court. First of all, the Constitution doesn't even require that you be a judge or, for that matter, a lawyer. You can put anybody on the Supreme Court. So I've always wondered why we don't take advantage of that. Doesn't have to be just federal appeals judges from Washington, D.C. That's the way we do it. If you didn't go to Harvard or Yale, if you're not an appellate judge on the D.C. circuit, you don't have a very good chance of getting appointed. And that's a mistake. So I'm all in favor of creating more diversity, in terms of seniority. But you're right, it's not intended to necessarily pack the court. It's just intended to get a rotation.
What about the ethics code, Thane? How do you feel about that? I mean, is this a reasonable thing that he wants to do?
Well, you know, they have one, Joe. They created one last year. He's saying it needs to be binding and it needs to be more expansive. People are surprised to know that the federal courts have ethics codes that are pretty tightly restrictive, but it doesn't apply to the Supreme Court. So that's why the Supreme Court, within the last year or so, actually, you know, initiated their own code. But, you know, the idea, we've heard some more revelations about, you know, luxury vacations that some of them have taken. There's issues regarding their spouses and their spouse's connection to some of the cases that are before the court. What he's saying in connection with that is he's telling the Supreme Court, we need you to do a better job of policing yourself. all I could say is that Chief Justice Roberts is a real institutionalist. He really believes in the judicial independence of the court. He is not happy with this op-ed, and will no doubt see this as a power grab to dilute the power of the court.
What about the chances of this kind of thing passing again? I mean, I don't sense that the whole country is as much up in arms about this as the Democratic Party is, or am I wrong?
Well, no, I think you're right. The one thing is true is that the polling of the Supreme Court has never been lower. Now, that can come from a lot of reasons, right? I mean, you know, there's all sorts of reasons, but the public perception of the court is much lower. But their numbers are better than Joe Biden's numbers. You know, it doesn't mean that people want to see a reformation of the court. They just don't have a very high opinion of the court. Again, the separation of powers issue is a huge matter here to have to deal with. You know, anything that makes it look like the Supreme Court will lose its ability to have co-equal branch or co-equal power, it violates the spirit of our constitutional democracy. So it may not be that you speak to most people on the court, you know, they don't know about lifetime of appointment. They don't know, you know, ideological imbalance or age differences. I'm not sure that there's a great uproar for what the president is proposing. He's just saying, look, we think that this conservative Supreme Court has issued some rulings that are, you know, opposed ideologically to how we would see it, and we would hope that other justices would have. So let's just kick some of them off faster than giving them lifetime appointment.
Well, maybe I'm cynical, but I have to believe that if the situation were reversed, the Republicans would be calling for changes in the Supreme Court, and the Democrats would be licking their chops over having so many liberal justices there to decide cases the way they want them decided. I mean, we've made it political, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, you can depend upon who you ask. There are people who think that all of the Donald Trump cases were politically motivated. They weren't really based, you know, in a very strong, legal structure. The irony, of course, Joe, is that the most recent Supreme Court case in connection with presumptive immunity for a president from criminal prosecution for acts taken within the scope of his or her employment, that most recent decision by the Supreme Court would protect Joe Biden when he leaves. So, you know, you may not like that decision, but the whole purpose is, you know, to basically give an immunity to presidents while they're in office for acts that look like the kind of stuff that they're doing as a part of their day. But you're right. Look, you could say, if Donald Trump did not declare that he was running for president, how many of those cases would have been brought? If the answer is one or zero, then you know you have a weaponization of the justice system. And so, you know, you're also right to say that if you can do this, if Democrats can do it, then Republicans can do it, and they will.
Well, one thing's for sure, being the CBS legal analyst, you've certainly got a lot of work cut out for you over the next few months, and I think we'll be calling on you quite often again, Thane. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Anytime for you, Joe. You know that. Thank you.
Thanks, Thane. Take care. All right, 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. We're going to open the phones. I said yesterday we would get to some of the emails that we didn't get to while we're waiting for the phones to light up. Our friend EB says, last night an organization called White Dudes for Harris held its debut fundraising event. They earned $4 million for the Kamala Harris presidential campaign. How did noted free speech advocate Elon Musk respond? By banning the group's Twitter or X account, of course. Gee, I wonder if that has anything to do with Musk being a vocal Trump supporter. It's so weird how he promoted to make X a platform for free speech, then began amplifying Nazis and banning liberal voices. I guess he's full of you-know-what, just like his cult leader. The convicted felon whose name is all over the recently released Jeffrey Epstein documents. Anyway, I had my husband donate $500 to White Dudes for Harris in fake news Stan's name. Well, let me ask you this, EB. If there was a group called White Dudes for Trump, How do you think that would fare? I mean, people would be raising Cain, saying, oh, it's a threat to our democracy. It seems to me that the Democrats here are just playing the race card yet again. All right, one of our other emailers says, let me see if I can get it here, and then we'll get some phone calls. Debate happens after the DNC officially goes with Harris. Eric and his talking points, not sure I get exactly what that means. And then this one we had from yesterday says, I have a question for you, Joe, and also your liberal callers. Do you think that Joe Biden would have dropped out of the race, or more accurately, been forced out, if that bullet would have directly hit Trump? What's your honest opinion on that question? I truly believe that the assassination attempt was a failed one, not just by a young punk messed up kid, but also by a much bigger entity. The plan all along has been to keep Trump out of running by absolutely any means possible. And after impeachment, lies, FBI raids on his home, farcical indictments, and now a failed assassination, Trump is still the leading candidate to be the next president. It's going to be an interesting few months, next few months for sure. That one is signed by Doug. Okay, we have some hotline calls here, and we'll start in the order in which they came in, and that means that Stan is on first. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning. As usual, EB is spreading bovine excrement.
Okay.
So, good for her. You know, if that makes her feel better, good for her. But, you know, I don't understand, because everything I hear about Kamala Harris, or is it Kamala? I'm not sure, but whatever. Anyways, about VP Harris, if you don't vote for her and you're white, you're a racist and a misogynist, especially if you're a male and you don't vote for her. That's what their line of attack is. And it's disgusting.
Isn't it possible?
Because I haven't heard anything that she's actually done that's worth anything.
Well, you know, can't we just agree with people without being racist or bigoted?
I can.
Okay.
I can, but that's what you hear. If you're not riding with Kamala Harris and voting for her, and you're a white man, you're a misogynist and a racist.
Well, then I guess...
So whatever. They could do whatever. They could say whatever they want. I don't care. Because I would never vote for Kamala Harris or Kamala or whatever her name is. Because, oh, that's right. That's racist, too. If you don't know exactly how she wants her name pronounced. Because I've heard it multiple ways. So, whatever.
Well, how does she pronounce it?
These people are disgusting. They can't run on her record because her record is abysmal.
Okay.
All right, let's dig into when she was the DA of San Francisco and the Attorney General of California and how she violated the Constitution and court orders. It's abysmal. Now she's one leading with her boy Joey about changing the SCOTUS. Changing SCOTUS, how it operates. You know, code of conduct, term limits. As your man, and I said yesterday, they need a constitutional amendment.
Right.
Good luck with that. But as far as code of conduct, they can apply that to district and circuit courts in the federal level because Congress created both of those. Read the Constitution. Congress had the authority to create those levels of court. But SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, was created by the states when the Constitution was ratified. Congress has no authority over them as a separation of powers. Now, if they pass a constitutional amendment to put term limits in, then things can change. But until then, SCOTUS can tell the Congress and the executive branch to go pound sand.
Right. Well, you know, I think that Thane Rosenbaum had an interesting point, and I didn't really think about it. This tendency to appoint young people to the Supreme Court, hoping they'd be there for 40 or so years, you know, it does kind of take out of the equation experienced jurists who have been, you know, in the trenches for any number of years and who are probably far more qualified than some of these young people. But, you know, everybody's playing the game.
And who are they to determine who's qualified or not? These people have been in the court just, you know, judges and attorneys for years. So I won't be the one to determine their qualifications. Although, if a person that's being nominated can't determine what a woman, define a woman, I tend to think they don't maybe don't need a little more experience in certain things.
Well, I think that they can define what a woman is. I just don't think they want to for political reasons.
Really?
Yeah,
when
right.
Ketanji Jackson was asked that question, she didn't have an answer.
I don't think she
now,
wanted to answer.
Is it because she doesn't know, or she was playing politics and didn't want to put it out there because she didn't want to catch it from the left?
Well, the other people on the right don't want to catch it either. You know, everybody, all of the Supreme Court hearings, the Supreme Court nominees wind up being artful dodgers. They're trying not to disclose anything that would keep them from being nominated, or confirmed, rather. You know, so that's only human nature. I mean, what?
Joe?
What?
They're asked questions about specific cases, correct?
In many cases.
What would you do if a child pornography case, blah, 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 came before your court? How can you answer a question like that when you don't know the details?
Well, it's a hypothetical. You know, you can at least say...
Hypotheticals. Well, what if an actual case actually came before the court then, and they don't say, you know, do what they said they would do in a hypothetical? Then what? Then they accuse them of lying during their confirmation process, correct?
Well, we've already had several callers accuse the Supreme Court of lying about it.
Exactly. So, you know, as I said, Congress and the executive have no authority over the Supreme Court.
Well, I think
because
I really,
they are a co-equal branch of government.
I really think that
until the Constitution is amended to set term limits or whatever they think they want to do.
Okay.
Oh well. Here's Congress and executive branch can go pound sand.
Here's the thing. I think that when these senators question these people, these nominees, they're not looking to get answers or to shed light. They're just trying to shed heat. You know, they're trying to make them look bad or to bring out their, just give themselves 5 or 10 minutes on national television looking like they're really tough and really know what they're talking about. But really, I think that when they have these hearings, the question should be limited to their qualifications and their background, not how they would vote, would feel about
Joe,
an issue.
Joe, have you watched any of the recent clips from, say, Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana or Ted Cruz? When they're asking these questions of these judge nominees for circuit and district courts, they ask them about things they have published, things they have put their name to, and most of the time the candidate refuses to answer or makes up lame excuses about those writings.
But decisions. But what they're trying to do is use their past actions to determine what their future actions would be.
Joe.
And I don't think you can do that. I think there have been too many surprises on the Supreme Court and on all the courts for that to be valid. Just my opinion.
Joe,
yes?
You said that they were to ask questions about their experience, correct?
About their qualifications, I said.
Qualifications and experience. Either one is determined by what they've written in their opinions. That is their qualifications, correct?
The qualifications
they're
would
using
be...
their qualifications to write their opinions.
But here's the thing. The quality of their opinions from a legal perspective, not the content of them. In other words, I think it's okay to say you misquoted this law, you misquoted that, you did a wonderful job here, you plagiarized this or you didn't plagiarize that. But when you get down into what they actually wrote and about what direction their opinion took, then I think you're just setting yourself up to not get an answer because they're not going to answer that kind of question. None of them do, not Republicans or Democrats. We'll have to give you the last 30 seconds, sir. Go ahead. I'll give you the last 30.
Okay. Well, you know, Harris... The whole campaign is right now a lie. She is not the presumptive nominee. She has won zero votes in primaries. She hasn't gone to the convention yet. She has been deemed the Democrat candidate for POTUS. Hasn't happened yet. Although she acts like she is. I hope there's a nice surprise waiting for her. But wow. I doubt there is, because they're all a bunch of sycophant liberals. So you have a great day.
You too, Stan. Thank you, sir. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. They're North 4th Street's Ford dealership in Sunbury, and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf are the preferred dealerships here in the central Susquehanna Valley. They have an extensive inventory selection of new and used vehicles from Ford, Hyundai, and Kia. Their dealership team is ready to help you select the vehicle that's the right fit for you. They have plenty of experience and knowledge to share and take pride in helping all of their customers find exactly the right vehicle. Their commitment to you, their customer, includes offering great finance options. They have the area's leading parts and service teams who serve you from their large truck, body and alignment shops, plus their repair garage for all types of vehicles. Learn more. Visit them today at sunburymotors.com. Two of the hotlines are open, 570-743-9565. Joe from Sunbury, you're up next. Good morning, sir. You're on the Mark.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for having Thane on. I asked for him a few times, but he did say about having, you know, someone who's not a judge on being elevated to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Right. Okay. Which that has happened in the past. As a matter of fact, there's someone sitting on the court now who never sat on a judge's seat. If you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you, do you know?
No, not offhand.
Okay. Kagan was an administrator at Harvard, a friend of Barack Obama. So that's how she got on, and she's considered one of the least knowledgeable in what she's doing on the court right now. So then Stan had also hit on a topic in the Supreme Court with Brown Jackson, that she that question that one of the someone asked her about, can you define a woman? Well, she actually did give an answer, and I was going to say, you know, if she said, no, I can't, right, she should, some people would say, well, she's too, let's just say, too stupid to be on the Supreme Court if you can't. But she didn't give an answer that she was stupid. She gave an answer, like you guys had said, that she's political, right? She goes, I think she said, pretty much close to it, I can't answer that question in this setting, which, right, because we had the, the trans people and their rights, and she would have to, you know, she would be held to what she would have defined a woman as, and if a case comes up about trans rights, she would have to, or people would bring that up. So she's, if you don't like political people or dumb people, she's one or the other. I say she's political. Some people thought she was too dumb, but she would fall into the political, and she wouldn't be eligible. You said about qualifications, so give me a quick thumbnail idea of what they would be.
What, their qualifications?
Yeah.
Whether what their legal background was, what their training was, what kind of things they had done in their legal career, whether they had served as a judge or justice. If so,
right.
You know, did their colleagues
right.
find them
Let's
acceptable?
Let's go from there, because I'm going to have a little bit of, you know, the time situation. But I would say all of those people are going to be excellent, right? If you get to the nomination, well, if you talk about Kagan, but there's other people. If she is a never sat on a judge's seat, but yet she's Obama was a constitutional professor and taught the Constitution, she might qualify, you know, that's fine with me. But what about the cases that you had been that were in front of you and were overturned by a higher court? What would you think of that as a qualification?
Well, yeah, certainly if you've been upheld on appeal, or whether you've been overturned. But
overturned.
On appeal.
If you've been absolutely overturned, like a lot is going to happen with the Trump cases now. If you've been overturned because you didn't follow the Constitution and the legal rights of the citizen to begin with, right? Yep. You did things like the Harvey Feinstein situation in New York. That judge didn't follow the rules of the court. He made up his own rules, the same as they're doing now for Trump. So, yeah, overturned. What if you could count the times that a judge was overturned? Would that be a qualification?
I would think if there were a large number of them, it would certainly be a factor that I would consider. It would tend to.
Let me
finish my answer.
Brown Jackson wouldn't be on the court right now if you looked at that.
Could I finish?
Could
I finish my answer? Whoops, I'm sorry about that.
Her decisions, and she was overturned at the next level.
Joe, hang on a second. Let me finish my answer. I think if they had any number of times they were overturned, that would certainly be a consideration. But on the other hand, you know, if they are upheld a few times and overturned a few times, that would just seem to me to be the regular course of events in any judicial career.
I'm saying by a lot, you know, like say you're overturned 70%. Make a number. If you have to have qualifications, you might have to have a number for that,
right? I would doubt that anybody overturns 70% of their decisions.
All right, well, I'm trying to make an example.
Would ever be nominated. I would not nominate somebody who had been overturned 70% of the time in their cases. You'd be an idiot to do that.
Joe Biden might nominate. You might not, but Joe Biden would because it's a friend, or Barack Obama.
Well, I don't know.
I know we don't know. That's my point of going to an extreme to make my point. I know. I don't know. Just say the average is overturned 10%. We'll have to go a different way to make me explain this. Say Kavanaugh was overturned 10% and Brown Jackson was overturned 30%. Does she qualify then?
Well, I say that's one factor. It's not every factor. I certainly would look at everything
else. Well,
then
if she can't answer politically what a woman is, would that disqualify? I mean, how many marks? That's what you talk about, qualifications, rather than the way we have it now.
But that's
the problem that I'm trying to point out, is that where do you set these qualifications at?
But that's a trap question. You know,
I know. But it has to be answered, right? If you're going to say qualifications rather than just, you know, have them vetted by panels like they are, or, you know, they have to go through the consent of the Senate and that's right?
Right.
Right. Okay, so we can move on from that if it's a trap question, but it has to be asked.
Okay.
What would the qualifications be? Okay, so we are. So they talk about not being able to touch the Supreme Court justices because of separation of powers, right?
Okay, we'll give you the final 30 seconds. I've got a
break
today.
Separation of powers, even Thane said about that. It's hard for Congress, but we've already had one case where a Supreme Court justice was impeached, and that was Samuel Chase early on, right? He was so political that they tried to impeach him, but they couldn't. So it's already happened. Why don't they try it now with the justices that the Democrats have problems with, or vice versa? Why don't they do it? They have it there, but they won't do it. I don't understand that.
Well,
so my time up?
Yep.
All right.
All right. Well, it's not an impeachable offense to disagree with somebody, you know, and you would have to show pretty strong bias or something that would cause you to want to impeach a Supreme Court justice. Or, let's say, if they were taking bribes, something like that, that would certainly be a condition. Okay, the hotlines are all open, 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236, but be sure to put OTM at the start of your message. We'll be right back.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s, with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, super cabs, super crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Today on Hey Culligan, smooth skin and soft hair comes from where? Here's Mike.
Hey Culligan, I've tried every conditioner, lotion, and body wash known to man, and my skin still feels like sandpaper.
It could be your water, Mike.
Oh, that's harsh.
More like hard water. Are you interested in smart, high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan Water?
Huh?
Want baby smooth skin and soft, luxurious hair?
Yeah, can you hurry? I have a date tonight.
We're already on the way, Mike. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test from a local Culligan Water expert at Culligan.com.
Call Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania today for all your water treatment needs and set up a free in-home water test with a water professional that knows the water where you live. Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-788-1978. That's 1-800-788-1978. Or visit them online at callculligan.com. That website again is callculligan.com. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
At WellSpan Evangelical Community Hospital, we're committed to providing health care with you in the spotlight. Throughout the year, we offer free varicose and spider vein screens, free skin cancer screens, and low-cost comprehensive blood screens that can provide important details about your health, sometimes before symptoms of a condition surface, giving you and your physicians the power to plan ahead. For the latest schedule or to register, visit evanhospital.com/wellness or call 570-768-3200.
Okay, we're back on board on the mark. 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. Two of the hotlines are open. One of our emailers says, the Democrats continue to attack God by attacking anything that gives merit to the Constitution. The liberal sheep drinking the Kool-Aid, we will all be done due to the mutual cycle of normal lifespans. Our grandchildren will have to deal with this one world order in the USA. And another is directed at our next caller, said, this morning I would like a response from Tom, E.B., and Chris. My question is, what are you planning on doing when you find out you're the one that's drinking the Kool-Aid? I will wait for your response. Okay, Chris, how are you coming with that Kool-Aid, buddy?
The Kool-Aid I taste is pretty good.
Okay.
But I don't make it. I actually make lemonade, hand-squeezed lemonade. I think that's very good.
Okay. Good morning, sir. Good to have you on. What's new?
I wonder. I haven't called up in a long time, I don't think, have I?
Oh, you called in last
week. I got one call in. But it was a very non-controversial one, I think. So I don't know what he's talking about. He hears what he wants to hear.
Okay.
First of all, yesterday you talked about Dred Scott being decision being overturned by the Supreme Court, which of course did not overturn it.
No, I didn't say anything of the kind. I know it wasn't overturned.
Okay, well, I think you did, but we'll say you.
I know enough about history to know.
Phrasing then. Okay.
I know enough about Justice Chief Justice Taney and the Supreme Court and the Dred Scott decision.
And
to know.
And I guess you were against. Who was it? The one who the conservative justice who actually said what his views were and didn't get and got rejected.
Not familiar.
Brock,
with
it. Brock or
oh,
whoever
Bork.
His name
Bork.
Was.
Bork.
It's the word you use when you insult justices. Bork. Yeah,
yes.
Bork. Because he was against the civil rights decisions. He was against. He was against several things that were long-standing law on the court.
Right.
And so by your standard, he should have been rejected.
Well, I don't think you should talk about cases, things that might come before you, or your opinions about them.
Were past cases decided? Would you use a different reasoning?
Democrats and Republicans have done this for some time now. They don't want to discuss how they would vote, and it's improper for a judge to prejudge a case, and that's exactly what they would be doing if they said, well, if this comes before me, I would do this.
But that's not why they want to do it. They want to do it to be non-controversial, as you said in the first place.
Well, that certainly is
in
one
fact,
of the side effects.
The Heritage House has been training conservative judges not to say things in public. Don't say things in public that would get you in trouble in a nomination hearing. That's part of their grooming of people for the court.
Isn't that good advice?
Them not suggesting that they not take on controversial cases because of that.
Isn't that good advice?
No, I think that's lousy advice for the country. It's good advice for getting on the court. It's lousy advice because you're intentionally disguising your true views in order to get on the court. And I think that's a terrible thing for the country.
Well, wouldn't you say that everybody who runs for president disguises to some extent their true views in order to get elected? Doesn't every politician do that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you're living in a different world, buddy.
Well, you said every.
All right. Well, not 90%. Would you concede me that?
I'd say I'll go along with 80-90%.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's pretty much standard operating procedure.
And they only do it 5% of the time, probably, most of them. They only have to because the rest of their opinions are out in public.
Well,
already.
And they've already gotten elected. Once they get elected, they've got two years or a year or 5 years if you're a senator for people to forget about what you said before.
Yes, but about the you know, I made fun of the Supreme Court decision being so scared, the president would be so afraid to do what's right that he needs this. It was a law that was needed, and they decided, well, since Congress isn't passing laws like that, I have to declare that there is one out of nothing. But they didn't consider the opposite case of what if you get a bad guy in for president who is intentionally crooked? Then do you want them to have immunity? They can theoretically now can't get convicted for taking bribes if they're being bribed to do something that's in their government powers, because they can do it, take the money, report the money, be honest on your taxes, and you can prove that they got the money, but you can't bring in the fact in court that they actually did the act, because that's the immunity they've been given. And what were the constitutional founders, these people who the judges today that they claim, oh, we got to defer to the founders' fears on all things or ideas on all things. Their fear was the president would become a dictator, and they took a lot of measures to try to stop that. And now this Supreme Court has decided, we have chicken presidents, and we should be afraid for them because they'll be afraid to do the wrong thing and maybe end up in jail. But we don't have to be afraid of dictator presidents anymore.
And
that's just the exact opposite of the founders.
I can't say that I disagree with you 100%.
I know you can't.
But on the other hand, I do think there has to be some kind of immunity from the president having to face nuisance lawsuits or nuisance prosecutions. I think if the Democrats had held a higher standard with respect to these trials they brought against Trump...
I think if the Republicans had held a higher standard, they would have gotten Trump out and not come back.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, and you are indeed entitled to it, sir.
And I think Stan's entitled to his opinion, no matter how dumb they are, because Biden has said that these would take constitutional amendments, and that's what he was proposing. And he's making it sound like the president didn't even know that they take constitutional amendments. That's what he was proposing. Stand.
We'll give
Pay
you the,
attention.
We'll give you the final word, final 30 seconds, sir, and I got two other
questions.
Well,
okay, 30 seconds.
Yep.
Trump has a new way of talking now. He says, you don't need to vote for me. And the reason he's saying that is they got people who are going to stop the election results in office now.
Okay, well, we'll see if you're right about that, Chris. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. All right, Eric and Dan, hang on. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
C has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116 and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Asbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Super Crew XLTs start at just $49,831. Asbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Relaxed, rejuvenated, and refreshed. That's what life is like at Nottingham Village Senior Living Community in Northumberland. And at Heather Court at Nottingham Village, they're focused on supporting and enriching the lives of loved ones needing memory care. It's the area's newly built freestanding memory care facility with four distinct neighborhoods supporting 12 individuals and semi-private and private bedroom layouts, all designed to offer a home-like setting. Meals are offered in a family manner. There's a full kitchen in each neighborhood. Residents can enjoy homemade meals and snacks, and food is prepared any time of the day. Plus, it's a safer, more secure environment where your loved ones receive exceptional 24/7 memory care from certified dementia care specialists and practitioners on staff. And all suites are spacious with home-like settings, including beds and linens, wardrobes, nightstands, wall-mounted LED TVs in all the rooms, and so much more. If this sounds like a place to call home for a loved one needing memory care, call Al Seidel today at 570-473-2360 to schedule a visit and learn more. Nottingham Village, Knights Road, Northumberland, online at nottinghamvillage.org.
At Christ Wesleyan, our purpose is to share the light, love, and teachings of Jesus. We are committed to reaching our community, country, and world. With multiple locations, we strive to make worship accessible to all. Join us for our Sunday services in Milton, Sunbury, or online. Additionally, we offer a Spanish service and ASL translation at our Milton location. Stay connected with us on social media by following CWC Life and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For more information, visit our website at cwc.life. That's cwc.life.
Okay, welcome back on board On the Mark. One of our emailers says, is it possible ever for Chris to not interrupt you when you talk? Well, give Chris credit. He does take a breath from time to time. One or two of our callers don't take a breath, so it's awfully hard for me to jump in and have a conversation with them. That's why I have my ultimate weapon here, which is to put them on hold. They can still hear me, but I can still talk without having to have them interrupt me or to over-talk me. So that's probably my fault. I like to hear what people have to say, so I tend to be a little more flexible with that than some hosts would be. Eric, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Should I take my breath now or later, Joe?
Well, whenever you do, if I have something to say, I'll jump in.
Okay, that's what makes the show. First of all, I think I just love it when Stan and other Republicans want to jump in and try to dictate what the Democratic Party does. I love it. He must be just as afraid of Kamala Harris as the whole Trump campaign is. Second, I think it's going to be extremely ironic that if Governor Shapiro is nominated as the VP candidate on the Democratic ticket, that one of the major reasons that he was elected governor of Pennsylvania was because Trump supported his opponent back in 2022. I think that was one of the biggest reasons that he got the nomination over the other person
on
the Republican side, and that allowed Shapiro to go to what became a rather easy win.
That was Senator.
So I think it's going to be very ironic if Shapiro becomes the nominee.
That now, was Senator. That was Senator Mastriano. Senator Mastriano, who was his opponent.
That's right. Yeah. Right. But wasn't McCormick in the running with him in the primary until they were kind of neck and neck until Trump?
That was for Senate. That was for Senate, and that was Dr. Oz.
Okay. But he still, Trump did tap Mastriano for his selection, yes?
Well, he did. He did endorse him, yes.
Yeah, and I think without that endorsement, I think Shapiro would have had a much closer race. So yesterday you said you had sources which said that the whole issue of Shapiro's race was coming into play. I went and researched that. The only reference I could find was from that spectacular filmmaker guy. I forget his name, who does all the, filmmaking thing. That's the only reference I could find. Did you find any other person coming out speaking against Shapiro based upon his being Jewish?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, one of our callers called in and read you, I think it was Joe from Sunbury, read the CNN. You questioned whether or not said I got all my stuff from Fox. I said it was from CNN and Fox, and he called in and read the CNN story.
But based upon whose opinion? Who obviously CNN didn't come out and say it. They were quoting somebody else. Who was there? Who
no,
were they quoting?
They were reporting unknown sources, people who were talking. They were reporting a general feeling in the campaign.
But unknown sources, huh?
Well, that's not unusual. There are a lot of times. Who is going to go on record and say something like that?
Well, exactly. And also, interestingly, the senator from Arizona, his wife is Jewish as well, as is Kamala Harris's husband.
Right. No argument there. As is Donald Trump's son-in-law, but everybody says Trump's anti-Jewish, so maybe it's a turnabout's fair play, huh?
Who says Trump's anti-Jewish? I've never come out here and said anything except that.
I didn't say you.
He has yet to demonstrate that he's a deep-feeling Christian.
I didn't say you. I said people have called this program and said that he's anti-Jewish, but his son-in-law is Jewish. So, you know, if Kamala Harris can marry a Jewish man and if his daughter, Trump's daughter, can marry a Jewish person, I would say that they're probably not anti-Semitic.
Okay, and I think that should not be part of it. Also, just one interesting thing. So if Shapiro does become the running mate and he does become elected, then we will have our first person of color as governor of Pennsylvania.
That's true. Austin's
that's true. Our lieutenant governor will become our first person of color. Interesting. Interesting how this all may play out. Although I continue to say that the senator from Arizona, I think, would be the person I think would be well to balance the ticket off. And lastly, we were arguing, you know, Shapiro versus J.D. Vance. And you said, well, what did Shapiro ever do? Well, he was elected in 2004. He was also attorney general of a state, you know, and did many other things, while J.D. Vance, all he did was write a book and get himself elected to the Senate.
I don't think I ever said what did Governor Shapiro do, because I'm familiar with Governor Shapiro, and I've said on this program quite often, I think he's doing a good job.
I think what you said to me was why was Shapiro more qualified? That's okay. What I think you
all
said.
Right. Well, that could be. I might have said something like that.
Do you think now, in light of the stumbling and bumbling around that Vance has done, that the Republicans are really concerned about the choice for their vice president candidate?
What stumbling and bumbling? He made one mistake, and Joe Biden made 100, and everybody was calling in the program and supporting him. You know, so politicians misspeak sometimes. We either accept the fact that they want to walk it back. I mean, God, how many times has Karine Jean-Pierre had to walk back something President Biden did or said? You know, so we're going to hold J.D. Vance to a different standard than we're going to hold the President of the United States.
Well, if it was one, I'm just saying what I'm reading is there's also sources that are saying that several senators were on the plane with Trump suggesting other nominees, but because his son or son-in-law, I think, forget which one, like J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance suddenly became a great, you know, Trump person, that he chose him, another white male, and didn't bounce off the ticket, and, you know, as could have a female or perhaps a person of color, such as the representative from, I think, Georgia or maybe South Carolina. I'm just saying those are what I read on CNN, and now there's some suggestions that he should replace Vance, but of course he can't do that because that was already vetted at the convention.
Those suggestions are not coming from Republicans; they're coming from Democrats.
Well, the sources said that there was a predominant Republican senator who was on the plane with President Trump and suggesting one of those other candidates, and President Trump said, "Thank you, no, thank you. I'm going to go with the guy I like."
So, well, I think if it had been today, knowing what he knows now, if he were smart, he would have taken Nikki Haley. Hey, we'll give you the final word. We got a break to take, and we have a caller who's been hanging on for a while.
Thank you, and everyone. That the reason we're in this issue with the Supreme Court and the concern is because the Supreme Court or the Senate did not do their constitutional responsibility back when Obama was president and nominated someone, and they refused to vet them during Obama's administration, although they had almost a year to do it, and they refused to do their constitutional responsibility.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, thank you. Appreciate your call. As always, Eric,
thank you, sir.
Okay, Dan, I hate to ask you to hang on, but I got to. I've got to take my final break, and then we'll give you the time we have left. We'll be right back.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since.
SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116. And financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Asbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Asbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Super Cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
To prove that mobile from Pantella Data Business Voice brings the office everywhere you are, I'm going to connect with my team while falling 15,000 feet!
We're here, boss. We hear you loud and clear.
Thanks, Janice. You know, companies today need affordable cloud-based unlimited calling, conferencing, mobile synergy, and easy upgrades to grow with your business to keep you, well, truly mobile.
Pantella Data Business Voice. Anywhere you are.
Janice?
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, I'm going to need a little help.
Okay, welcome back on board On the Mark. And Dan, you have been most patient. Thank you. From New Berlin, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Well, you know, I'm happy with President Trump's pick for vice president. I have no qualms about it. I think he's a very brave man, and his life story is really a thing that could only happen in America. So I'm perfectly happy. I don't think he could have done any better with a choice for VP. So get that off, but I'm going to talk about
one thing before, Dan, go ahead. Before you go off of that, I agree with you when his opponent was Joe Biden, but I'm not so certain that he is the best candidate now for vice president. And I think if Donald Trump were to do it over again, knowing that he was going to be facing Kamala Harris, he might have made a different choice. Or do you disagree?
I still think he would have chose Vance. I still think it would have been the same one, because he seems to be more Trump-like. And I think after Trump serves 4 more years, I think he'll be real qualified to run and be president in 4 years. But Trump, you gotta admire the man. Here he was almost assassinated, and he's gone back to Butler to do a rally that was mostly missed by his followers out there. So give him credit. He's not chickening out. And how many of us would want to go back out there and do a rally again when we know how bad it's got in the political atmosphere of America, that there's a group out there ready to take him out? They can't get rid of him no other way. So now they stoop to the lowest form of assassination to get rid of Trump.
Well, let's hope that that's, you know, one demented kid who did it. I don't think that there's a general. I mean, let's face it, if there were an actual conspiracy to kill Donald Trump, I think they could have found somebody better than a 20-year-old kid from Butler, Pennsylvania, the Butler, Pennsylvania area. I think it would be more like a Lee Harvey Oswald or somebody like that, where you're pretty sure that he acted in concert with others. Dan, I'm sorry. I took up the final few seconds. Call back tomorrow. We'll give you more time. And sorry about that, Joe. Sorry we can't get you back on. We'll do it all again tomorrow on On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. I'm Joe McGranahan. Enjoy being with you today. Thank Lynn Hall, our producer, and we'll see you all tomorrow on the Mark on WKOK Sunbury.